Miss Rena, is it?
Rena
Zabaliak, Real One. And if I could ask you, first of all, if I could call you Rena, about your background before the war, could you tell me whereabouts you were born and brought up in Poland, and also something about your family?
Right. I was born in Warsaw on the 23rd of March, 1924. My mother's name was Mindla, Mia. My father, Henry. My parents were very nice people. Everybody says that their parents are nice. But my father was a very hard working man, and my mother was a housewife. When I was little, we lived in a small flat. And when my brother was born 3.5 years later, we moved to a different flat. And I was 3.5 when my brother was born. And funny enough, it was in the summer. And I remember when she was born, I was on holiday, because in Poland you used to go for 2-3 months holiday to the, you know, outside Warsaw, because you used to take a flat and you used to stay there. And I remember exactly when my brother was born, my mother went to Warsaw, and then she came with the baby there to that place where I was. And when I was 6, I think, I start going to school. And my parents send me to a private school in Warsaw, which was called Zjednoczenie Nauczycieli. It is United Teachers.
What did your father do for a living?
My father had, he used to change his businesses quite a lot. And on the end, before the war broke out, he was doing import and export of fruit. And funny enough, that before the war, he was in England twice, because he exported onions to England. And he even had a factory once of children's stockings, socks, and so on. But his main business on the end, it was like a family business. He had import and export of fruit.
Would you say your family were religious? Were you Orthodox Jews?
Quite religious. From my parental side, my grandfather was a teacher. And he used to teach children not only Hebrew, but the religion. And in Jewish, it is called, he was a melamed. And he was a lovely man. And my maternal grandfather was an antique dealer. And he was also a very nice man, but when my grandmother died, he came to live with us. and he lived with us till he died. But funny enough that my both grandfathers I lost in 6 months. I lost one. It was like October, November 37, and the other one in March 38. And my maternal grandfather was always sitting and learning, because he gave up business when my grandmother died, and he always used to sit with a book and he used to learn. And he used to take the children out, and when we went on holiday, he used to come with us, and he was a very nice man.
Did you go to synagogue, though? No, did you have
children? I don't remember, as a child, going much to synagogue. But my father used to go, my grandparents, and my mother only used to go on high holidays. They didn't go to synagogue as much as you go here in England. But we kept a kosher home, which I keep to this very day. And it was a very, life was around family very much, how shall I say, family minded. One would do anything for the other. And they were very close. My father had three sisters. And the sisters were married, and each had, and two had two children each. My paternal grandparents had six grandchildren, but my maternal grandparents had 11 grandchildren, because they had three daughters and two sons. And life in Poland was very anti-Semitic before the war as well. I used to go to a Jewish school, and what it was very interesting that, you see, in England, children get the books in school. In Poland, when it started, the school, you know, when the school started in Poland in the autumn, like in September, and the children used to go to special shops to get the books. And outside the shops, well, if it was a Jewish shop, they used to stay Poles, which were anti-Semites, and they used to say, don't buy from a Jew. It was in Poland, they, the 3rd of May is a national holiday. And as it is a national holiday, then the army goes and so on, and on the end, the anti-Semites used to go. and they used to scream, we don't want Jews, the Jews to Palestine, and so on. And funny enough, I had a friend, and her auntie used to have a flat there where it was, where this procession passed by. Then we used to stay on the balcony to watch it. And then they start screaming. And it was very unpleasant for young children to listen what was going on. But my parents were quite comfortable people. And I used to have a French governess. When I came to England, I spoke two languages, Polish and French. My French is not so good anymore, but I still speak quite well French. And the governess used to take us to buy books. She was with us till my brother was about 11, and I was older. And funny enough, in Poland, we used to go to school from 8:30, 9 o'clock, till 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. And in the afternoon, I remember my father said that whatever child got in his head, nobody can take it away. My brother had a Hebrew teacher and an English teacher. And when I was older, I had a French teacher. Till the war broke out in 1939, and this is already a different phase in my life, because on the 1st of September 1939, the war started, and on the end of that month, the Germans walked into Warsaw, and trouble started.
Do you remember the actual outbreak of war?
Yes, really? I remember like today. I remember like today when the war started in 1939. Everybody used to run to buy food and so on, because they were scared that it won't, but they start bombing Warsaw. Warsaw was bombed quite a lot. And funny enough, I had an auntie which had a small flat, and I only felt safe there on the bed behind the wardrobe. And it was very difficult to get food even. You had to stay in a queue to get bread. And I was still very young, but I used to go to get bread, stay in a queue.
You would have been, what, just over 15 then?
15. And then, when the Germans walked in, to Warsaw, you couldn't get a lot of food at the time. But Poland used to be a very agricultural country, and it was funny that you couldn't get, but later you could get quite a lot of food. Till we went into the ghettos, where the Germans closed the ways, and you couldn't get any food. You could get it on black market and so on, but life was very, very hard. Mm-hmm.
Those early days, you know, when the Germans first came in, do you remember that, when you first saw the Germans?
I remember. I remember exactly when they came in. I was scared to be on the street. But some Poles were waiting for them and waving and so on, because Warsaw was a beautiful city. They used to call it the Little Paris. And Aleje Ujazdowskie, Aleje Jerozolimskie, through Marszałkowska, the Germans came in. And it was very funny that some of the Poles, I don't say all of them, became very friendly with the Germans. And if, for instance, Polish women knew, you see, in Poland, the workforce wasn't very expensive. You see, every woman which was even middle class or even quite poor, they all used to have maids. And if a maid knew that her madam had a nice fur coat or had some jewelry, she used to come with the Germans and take it away from them. And one day, my uncle came to our flat and he said, I've got to make an order here because it is everything too nice. If the Germans come in, they will take all the furniture away. And funny enough, on that day, they made an upside down from the whole flat. And as soon as he left, it was like, it was, I don't know how to fate it, like a fate. The Germans walked into our flat and we had a beautiful lamp. And in the lamp, even my father even put in diamond of my mother. They took off the lamp and the Germans, I don't know if they even could find the diamond because they hid it very well. They took out a typewriter and all the silver cutlery and so on, and they left. If the furniture would be in order, the furniture would be gone as well. And then they start catching men on the street and sending them to work. They used to do took the Jews to give them dirty work. And what they also have done, if they found in Poland, a lot of the Jews used to have beards, and they used to cut the beards together with the flesh, if they caught them. It was very sad to hear. But if they didn't catch the Jews on the street, they used to come to the flats, to the apartments, to take them. Funny enough, we had a very beautiful apartment. Like here, it is called a flat. And the door from the front door was painted exactly like the paper which was there, and I let in the German through the kitchen door, and I let my father out by the front door, and the German never noticed that there is a door. And when the German left, I let my father in. Another time, my father went to bed and I put medicines next to him and I said, he got Flecken fever, it is typhus, and they got scared, they ran away. And we couldn't go to school. Then our teachers was organized that they used, it was between 8 to 10 children used to come to have lessons. And like this we used to study. I heard that in our small towns there were schools. There was no schools in Warsaw for Jewish children. And life was very, very difficult. Then they said, we've got to put on an armband. It was about 5 inches wide, and it was the Star of David on it. And you wore it on the left arm. On the right arm, I'm sorry. And if you wouldn't wear an armband, they could shoot you. They said whatever they give an order and the Jews don't do, they would. And funny enough that everyone trouble what they gave to the Jews, it came on a holiday.
On a Polish holiday?
A Jewish holiday. You see, funny enough that with the armband was on Hanukkah. And when it was, they decided about the Warsaw Ghetto, it was on Yom Kippur. Then, Day of Atonement, they gave the no order. All the orders, they used to put it on the wall, they used to write notice and put it on the houses, on the building house. And life wasn't still, it was okay, but it wasn't right, because a Jew didn't have any right, nothing whatsoever. Then in 1940, on Yom Kippur, they decided to make the ghetto. And as my father's family lived outside the ghetto, and we had a big flat, we had 4 rooms, kitchen and bathroom, and they all moved into us.
You were in the ghetto area, were you?
Yes, our flat, luckily enough, was in the area of the ghetto. But they said that if somebody got business, the business can be left outside because the people will be able to go out from the ghetto. Because as soon as the ghetto started, they closed the gates and nobody could go out. My father's business was outside the ghetto.
Do you remember the actual sort of shutting in of the ghetto? How did they do that?
You see, they made a wall around, it was 1.5 floor high. And on top of it, they put on pieces of glass, broken glass, and some wires, those special wires, if you put on your fingers, that people wouldn't be able to go over the wall. But it wasn't easy. It was very hard to be there in the ghetto.
You stayed in your same apartment?
Yes,
you
stayed in our apartment till June, I think, 42. And as our flat was in the ghetto, the family of my father's, my grandmother and my three sisters of my father, with their families moved into us.
Was that very crowded?
It was crowded, but it was pleasant. The family was together. You know, when it came Friday night or holiday, we were together, and it was very nice to have the family together. What usually, when it was a holiday, you had to walk very far to get there, because we were not very religious in comparison, but we didn't ride on Saturday. And to go there, we had to go over the river. It was quite a long way. Then it was very hard to have holidays together with my paternal family, where with the maternal family, they lived not far from us. But when the Germans closed in the ghetto, and my father's business was outside the ghetto, and all the stuff and everything was left there, he was very upset. And they knew a Polish policeman, who decided to help them. And he took them out from the ghetto, pretending that they are going to work. And a fellow who had a business next door, he was Polish, then they put in the stuff to his shop, and a few days later on a lorry they sent in the stuff to the ghetto to us. It was very, very tricky, but it was somehow done. And my father didn't lose a lot of money at the time. And we had a shop in the ghetto. My father had a shop in the ghetto. And he couldn't sell any more fruit, but they used to sell stuff for bakers and things like this, all different stuff. Jam, sweets, chocolates, and so on, but all wholesome.
How did that come in through this policeman, the stuff that your father sold, through this deal with the policeman?
Yes.
Is that how it worked?
Yes, the policeman somehow brought it. He was a Polish policeman, and he brought it into the ghetto.
What was life like for you, living in the ghetto? You know,
it was very, very hard. Now I will tell you what it was. First of all, it was blocks of flats what we lived, and there was after 7 or 8 o'clock, you couldn't go out on the street. You would be shot. How is this called?
Curfew.
Yeah, curfew. And unfortunately, it was very, very hard. And if somebody had typhus in that block of flats, they locked in the block, and people came pretend that they are making it.
Oh, disinfecting it.
To disinfect.
Oh, excuse me.